Brother Bill's Ostrander's discourse is Truth and Faithfulness. Brother Bill.
Thank you, Brother Ron. And it's a joy to be here gathered at the Salem Convention. Many precious memories of past encounters at this convention and many spiritual joys and enhancements through the spirit of this very special convention. Truth and faithfulness. In a recent lesson, we considered the unique Hebrew word chesed, which is translated loving kindness, covenant love, and steadfast love, among several others. One definition that begins to convey the concept of chesed is when someone from whom we deserve nothing gives us everything. Chesed was also described as a key to open the door to the world of God's own heart, the world of loving our neighbor, and perhaps even of loving our enemies. It was also noted that chesed often seems to draw other conceptual words under its own cooperative influence. One scholarly work referred to this phenomena as linguistic gravity. However, chesed is not the focus of this lesson. Although its loving influence and insight into the divine heart and purpose will remain glowing in the background, our principal focus will be another word. This particular word is the one that is most frequently attracted to and associated with chesed in the scriptures. This word that caught our attention was a word that is often translated by the English word truth. A scriptural example of when truth is found under the influence of chesed is when Jehovah introduces himself to Moses in Exodus 34, verse 6. Exodus 34, 6. And we'll be reading from the American Standard Version. And Jehovah passed by before him and proclaimed, Jehovah, Jehovah, a God merciful and gracious, and slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, chesed, and truth. Truth conveys so much significant importance for Bible students. As a youth, my parents would tell me, "We have the truth." That impressed a young mind as being pretty special and important. But the what, the how, or the why still needed to be filled in. With maturity came the realization of what the truth was. The what became apparent as different doctrines were opened to understanding. What is life? What is a soul? What is death? Why is evil being permitted? Who was Jesus? What is the ransom? What is the scope of salvation through Jesus Christ? What is consecration? The list goes on. Then, scripturally based chronology with supporting prophetical evidence was provided to add a dimension of time. A dimension of time that provides a marvelous focus as to just where we are on the stream of scriptural history. It was all so sensible, so logical, so comprehensive, so perfectly and wisely planned, and so scripturally harmonious. It must be true. It must be the truth. The Hebrew word is emeth, E-M-E-T-H, emeth. Strong's number 571. A few words beside truth that help convey the conceptual meaning of emeth are true, right, verity, reliable, dependable, trustworthy. There is a noteworthy scriptural context that grants us helpful insight into this word, emeth. This is Psalms 111, and we will read verses 5 through 8. Psalms 111, 5 through 8. He has given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He has showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are verity, that is, emeth, and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth. Also, emeth, truth and uprightness. The word meat in this verse brings to mind Matthew 24:45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord has made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? The truth that is provided at the end of the, towards the end of the gospel age during the Laodicean period. Verity in this context of Psalms 111 is not a word that we commonly use. Some definitions are: one, a true principle or belief, especially one of fundamental importance, and two, the quality or state of being true or real. As we look at the scriptures that have both chesed and emeth together, and we consider different translations, it will be noticed that emeth is also translated with the English word faithfulness. As we dwell upon these two translations, these two different English words, they become compatible rather than different. It is not either one or the other, but rather they both are represented. Truth conveys the rightness, the holiness of these sanctified teachings from God's word. Faithfulness conveys the divine character that stands behind his holy writings, his holy word. Thus our title, Truth and Faithfulness. To emphasize this aspect of faithfulness, it would be good to reflect upon another important part of truth. That part is the precious promises. 2 Peter 1, 3 to 4. 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and goodness, through the knowledge of him that has called us unto glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. These promises are important elements of truth. They are true and they are sure. We can believe them and we can trust in them. They are truth, and they are realized by an intimate trust in his faithfulness. As an example, let's consider two sets of verses from a psalm that is a rich repository of precious promises, Psalms 91. This first set of verses will be some well-known promises from this chapter in Psalms 91. Verse 7, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Verse 10, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. And verse 11, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Now, this second set of verses, how these promises, they show how these promises are contingent upon an intimate acquaintance and relationship with our Heavenly Father, along with a heart reliance upon his divine faithfulness. Let's go back to verse 1 in Psalms 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 2. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Verse 9. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. And verse 14. Because he, Jehovah, has set his love upon me, therefore I deliver him. I, Jehovah, will set him on high, because he has known my Jehovah's name. As a summary, we will go back to verse 4. It nicely conveys both concepts of truth and faithfulness. Psalms 91, verse 4. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. And his truth, ameth, shall be thy shield and buckler. So, dear brethren, this was mentioned in our welcome address, and it was mentioned by my dear sister Donna in fellowship with the sisters yesterday. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. In that previous lesson on Chesed, there was a concern. And this concern was expressed a little bit in the fellowship period. A concern that may have appeared that God's loving kindness was being emphasized while doctrinal truths were being de-emphasized in order to avoid some of the controversies stemming from doctrinal differences, from doctrinal alterations. So an object of this lesson is to emphasize that truth, that present truth, is still critically vital for us to continually have refreshed in our minds and in our hearts in its original harmonious beauty. It is also worthy to consider one other special and unique aspect of truth, present truth. The latter refreshing rain of truth that was especially provided to and for the feet members of the little flock at the time of our Lord's return. This special feature of truth is how it was faithfully and wisely served, how it was presented to those final members of the Bride of Christ, to awaken them, to sanctify them, and to provide for them an uplifting perspective and a unifying common bond for their individual and collective spiritual lives. It also provided for them a form of protection, a shield and buckler, during this closing time of the gospel age, as we realize it is an hour of temptation, Revelations 3:10. This provision of truth was prophesied by Jesus himself and again by Jesus through the Apostle John. Jesus, our Lord and head and faithful example, foretold of this during his final days prior to his crucifixion. This poignant time of many of his final lessons seem to have an underlying theme of service, an attribute and attitude of a servant who in humility desires to faithfully serve and honor his master. The parable of the pounds and talents illustrate servants being blessed as they use the values entrusted to them to enhance the worth and esteem of their master. Our Lord in the upper room presents himself as such a servant. Mark chapter 10, verses 44 and 45. And whomsoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. See also Luke 22, verses 25 through 27. During that time, Jesus also foretells of one particular future event. A servant he will find upon his return. A servant with outstanding qualities of wisdom and faithfulness. Matthew 24, 46 through 47. Blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler all his goods. Again, the Lord, through the Apostle John, in the closing chapters of the New Testament, referencing this same feature and this same time frame, the time frame of Jesus' return, illustrated it as a meal. He is speaking to those of this period, our period, the Laodicean period of the church. Revelations 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. Can we imagine sitting down at a table prepared by our Lord and having his chief servant bringing this exquisite meal of several courses masterfully prepared, each course in order, building on the preceding, enhancing the next? These pictorial elements, meat, goods, and a meal, are illustrations of truth, including doctrinal truths, present truth. In actuality, they come to us on the printed page. The volumes, the reprints, and etc. Tabernacle Shadows. In this form, they are available to renew and refresh us again and again. Each time, reminding us of their logical, scriptural harmony, and each time reminding us of Jehovah's wisdom, faithfulness, and love that formed these truths originally. So, now let us continue on, and let us look to Ameth, as it joins with Kesed, and leads us to a story of God's truth and faithfulness. Our destination is the first time Ameth happens to be found alongside Kesed. This is found in the 24th chapter of Genesis. Here we find a familiar story, but as well, it is beautiful and meaningful story. Yes, it is a love story, but it is a story also carrying the truths of God's word and wonderful examples of his faithfulness. It is the story of going to find Rebecca and bringing her back as a bride for Isaac. This story begins with Abraham giving an important commission to his chief servant, Eliezer. The commission is to go to Abraham's home territory and his own kindred to find a bride for Isaac. Here, Abraham represents the Heavenly Father, and Eliezer represents the Holy Spirit, the power and influence of Jehovah, that faithfully carries out his wise and loving purposes. Isaac, Abraham's son, represents the Son of God, Jesus. And Rebecca is of personal interest to us, dear brethren, for she represents the bride class, chosen to become joint heirs with her Lord. The story shows the concern and devotion of Eliezer. He feels the weight of this mission, that it is most critical and important. How will he know? What if she doesn't accept? Abraham reassures Eliezer that this is the will of Jehovah and to go forth in assurance of God's faithfulness. So Eliezer takes 10 camels and embarks on a very long journey, likely over 500 miles northeast of Israel, in northern Mesopotamia, the home country of Abraham's family. Abraham's kindred signifies the household of faith. Abraham knew that among his family there was faith in the one God. We saw this with his nephew Lot, who in faith called upon God for a favor, trusting in Jehovah's chesed. Genesis 19, verse 19. This pictures how Jehovah draws those to become the bride of Christ from those who already possess a faith and belief in God. We see this among the early disciples in Israel and even among the early Gentiles in Israel. Eliezer finally arrives where the family of Nahor, Abraham's brother, resides. There he comes to a well on the outskirts of the community at evening time when the women are coming to fetch water. Eliezer needed to know which one of these women would be God's choice to become Isaac's bride. So in a prayer to Jehovah, he sets forth a very specific and unique scenario that would indicate that this one would have a generous, intuitive spirit of service and sacrifice that would not only share her water with Eliezer, but who would as well voluntarily offer to provide water for all those camels. We can't help but marvel at how God answered this prayer. Even before Eliezer had finished praying, lovely young Rebecca comes to the well. Eliezer, a total stranger, asks if she could share some of her water she had just drawn from the well. Immediately and without hesitation, she pours some water for him from her pitcher. And promptly, again, she offers to draw water for all 10 of his camels. And again, she does this without hesitation. She did so gladly, intuitively, sensing that these exhausted travelers had come a long distance and were in need of this replenishment. On reprint 39:53, Pastor Russell shows how the attributes Eliezer was expecting were those that God is looking for in choosing those to be drawn unto Christ as his bride, that they shall not be of the world, but of the household of faith, and that only those who have something of generosity and amiability in their characters are approached. Amiability, not a common word we come across, but it's good to consider a definition. Amiability means good nature, good-natured, obliging, cheerful, friendly, helpful, having the desire or disposition to please. The camels in this account represent the word of God. For is it not the word of God, the channel through which the Holy Spirit comes to enlighten our minds and heart, uplift our perspective, and to reveal to us a wonderful invitation, a unique opportunity of joint heirship with God's Son? Ephesians 1:13 and 14. Whom also ye trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Speaking of the 10 camels, most brethren are aware of a children's book that was delightfully written by a sister in Canada for her daughter and was first published in 1929 in Australia. The title was The 10 Camels. And we like to quote the author's own words. Quoting, wishing to give her, that's her daughter, a firm foundation of truth, written in language simple enough to be understood by a child of tender years, the author undertook to supply stories that would represent these great doctrines in a manner both interesting and appealing, end of quote. So this author realized how these 10 camels can represent the word of God and the doctrinal truths contained therein. Pastor Russell also confirms this on reprint, an early reprint, reprint 161. The camels upon which he came to Rebekah represented the word of God. And we must gladly receive the word if we would be accepted as the bride. And thirdly, the Spirit does not communicate to us the of our high calling in Christ, the word. Going on in our story, Eliezer is most pleased and delighted how this lovely young maiden has met and even exceeded his expectations. So he presents her with valuable golden jewelry, an earring and bracelets. Genesis 24:22. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold. Half a shekel would be equivalent in weight to about 1/4, and 10 shekels would be as heavy as a roll of 20 quarters. Pastor Russell, in reprint 3188, well states that what these jewels picture for us. The ornaments being of gold, and we're quoting from the reprint, symbolize divine blessings, gold always symbolizing divine things. The golden ornaments were first earrings, representing the blessed effect of hearing the call, and secondly, bracelets for the hands, representing the blessed effect of the divine call upon our doings thereafter. End of quote. Eliezer then inquires whose daughter she is. She introduces herself as the granddaughter of Nahor, Abraham's brother, and she informs him there is room and provisions for him and his entire caravan to spend the night. We can imagine that Eliezer was overwhelmed and amazed and relieved by this evident manifestation of Jehovah's choice. In respect and gratitude, he pauses to worship the Heavenly Father in prayer. Genesis 24, verse 27. And he said, "Blessed be Jehovah, the God of my master Abraham, who hath not forsaken his loving kindness, chesed, and his truth, emeth, toward my master. As for me, Jehovah has led me in the way to the house of my master's brethren." Eliezer was aware of the promises that Jehovah made to his master Abraham, that his seed would become great and bless all the families of the earth. And now Jehovah had personally witnessed divine providence that in faithfulness had demonstrated the truth of this promise. Emeth, truth and faithfulness. Rebekah then ran to show her family the jewelry and tell them what happened. Laban, her brother, came promptly to meet Eliezer and invite him to spend the night. The animals and his men would all be well provided for. A meal was prepared and the food was brought out. Eliezer, though, could not partake of this marvelous hospitality until he had explained to them the purpose of his coming here to select and return with a bride for his master's son. And he does so in some detail. The family was indeed impressed that this manifestation of overruling providence was indeed divine, and informed Eliezer that he could take Rebekah with him to be the bride of Isaac. This, of course, delighted Eliezer, and he bowed his head in gratitude to Jehovah, and then brought out even more precious jewelry not only for Rebecca, but for the family as well. Quoting from reprint 5188, how beautiful a figure. The bride class receive an early blessing of the Holy Spirit and a later one. The later comes to those who have made a full decision to be the Lord's at any and every cost, to follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Revelation 14:4. The graces of the Holy Spirit come more and more to them. As the apostle suggests, we add to our faith fortitude, knowledge, patience, experience, hope, joy, love. And each of these jewels of character, in proportion as we put them on, enhances our beauty of character. End of quote. And another quote from reprint 3186. These symbolize the fact that not only are the fully consecrated ones blessed when they leave all and accept the high calling, but others of the sympathizing ones of the household of faith also receive spiritual blessings through the betrothed class, even before the union with the bridegroom. However, Rebecca's family implored him to remain just a few more days so they could have a little more time with her. But Eliezer was firm that he must return promptly with or without Rebecca. So the final choice was given to Rebecca. Genesis 24:58. And they called Rebecca and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. Again, some words from reprint 5188. Uphill and down, through sunshine and shadow, the camels finally brought Rebecca to her journey's end. So with the antitypical Rebecca, they start in the pathway of obedience and self-denial, leaving their father Adam's house. After they accept the Holy Spirit's suggestion and decide to go to Christ, they begin promptly to take up their cross and follow him through sunshine and shade, trials and difficulties of the journey. They travel down through the centuries of this gospel age. As Eliezer, continuing the quote, brought Rebecca and her maids safely through the end of their journey to the presence of Isaac at Lehi Roy. So the Holy Spirit will guide the church to the end of the journey to the presence, the parousia of Christ. The camels which bore the treasures and jewel to Rebecca's home, which afterward brought her and her maidens and Eliezer back to Isaac's home, would seemingly represent well the Holy Scriptures, which the faithful are borne along. The agencies sent by the Father and the Son for the comfort and assistance of the prospective bride on her journey. Again, that was reprint 5188. In conclusion, dear brethren, let us reflect on this special story that a little but meaningful Hebrew word, emeth, has invited us to consider. Truth. The story of Rebecca foreshadows many important truths. The principal truth we encountered on this journey was the high calling to become the bride of Christ, joint heirs with him in the kingdom. As well, there are many attendant truths, such as the two salvations, sanctification, and the spiritual fruits and graces of the Spirit, just to mention a few. Dear brethren, as we are blessed to be living in this closing period of the gospel age, we have been blessed by the refreshing latter rain of truth, a most valuable message wisely entrusted to a single servant to be served to us on the printed page. Let us never become bored with these treasures of truth, but rather renew them repeatedly with one another to keep their vitality alive in our minds and hearts in their original logical harmony. Faithfulness. We witnessed a marvelous manifestation of divine faithfulness in the finding of Rebecca and her prompt acceptance, even though she had never met nor even seen this man she would spend the rest of her life with in a land very far from her home and family. This shows her own reciprocal degree of faith. She could sense the devotion of Eliezer to God, the God of his master, and she realized that this was her God as well, and that he was calling her. We too have witnessed in our lifetime God's faithfulness in fulfilling the promises given to us through the words of his Son, as recorded for us in the scriptures. This was a promise that upon Jesus' return, he would serve us a marvelous meal, meat in due season. All we need to do is to open the door of our minds and hearts to experience this manifestation of divine faithfulness. Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Also, Isaiah 45:23 and Isaiah 46:10. As Rebecca was about to leave them, her family, perhaps never to return, loving words were spoken to her by her family. These words to Rebecca were words of blessing and adoration, and they were also words of amazing insight. This family had a deep faith like Abraham's faith. They believed in Jehovah, that he was the creator of humanity, and that he truly loved his human family and would somehow recover them from sin. And Rebecca was going to have a sanctified role in that divine plan. Genesis 24:60. And they blessed Rebecca and said unto her, Thou art sister, be thou the mother of thousands of millions. We would like to close with a similar message of encouragement from the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 1, 7 through 9. 1 Peter 1, 7 through 9. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Receiving the end objective of your faith, even the salvation of souls, thousands of millions of souls. And one last text where a myth is drawn by the influence of Chesed. Proverbs 3:3. Let not mercy, Chesed, and truth, emeth, forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. May the Lord have his blessing, and may the Lord have all the glory and honor that is due him.